We are officially 10 days away from Christmas. Yikes. In my family, the tunes of the season don't blast through our radios or Spotify until the day after Thanksgiving. How many of you are like me? You don't listen to Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. Those of you who've been listening to Coast 103.5, I know you've been listening for about 2 months. I personally lean towards the traditional hymns of Advent, Call Me an Old Soul. I like songs like Of the Father's Love Begotten, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, and The Holly and the Ivy. My daughter, on the other hand, beams with absolute joy the minute she hears Holly Jolly Christmas, and we wish you a Merry Christmas. But I thought about our innkeeper. Only one song came to mind. And that was, there's no place like home for the holidays. Sure, that line, gee, the traffic is terrific, feels more and more sarcastic as I get older. But the heart of that song rings true. When we celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus, who better to have around with us than those who share our homes, our memories, and our hearts? This Advent, we've been reading imagined letters from those who've witnessed the birth of Christ. From Isaiah, the prophet, who only heard God's whispers of a Messiah, but never saw anything come to his eyes. We heard from John the Baptist, who preceded Jesus only in birth order, but subjected himself under Christ's rule. And today we heard from the innkeeper, who so often is vilified, but perhaps wholly misunderstood. The untold story of the innkeeper invites us to the door, but not on the outside, but on the inside. So as we prepare to hear God's word, let us remember that scripture is not just history, but it's an invitation. Jesus stands at the door and knocks, waiting for us to open wide. So before we read, will you please pray with me? Patient God, light of the world, you come to us in ancient songs, the laughter of children, and in the whispers of prophets. You knock at our heart's door. Shine your light into our darkness. Clear away the weeds that choke our joy, and open our hearts wide to your presence on this day. Emmanuel, enter in and dwell within us. Through Jesus Christ, who stands, who knocks, and who waits. Amen. All across Mexico, in Latin America, families remember the story of the unknown innkeeper through the traditional Las Posadas. This tradition began in the 16th century when Spanish missionaries used drama and song to teach the nativity story. For 9 nights, symbolizing Mary's 9 months of pregnancy, neighbors gather as children and adults dress as Mary, Joseph, and other voyagers, and they go from house to house singing for shelter. Now, my Spanish is un poquito, so I'm going to speak this in English for us all. The pilgrims outside sing, in the name of heaven, I beg you for lodging, for my beloved wife cannot walk. The innkeepers who are inside, this is not an inn, keep going, I cannot open, you may be a rogue. Pilgrims inside or outside, we are worn out from coming from Nazareth. I am a carpenter, Joseph by name. And they keep singing and singing, and most of the doors remain closed. But finally, one opens. One opens, and it's not just a home, but a heart. The final house welcomes the travelers with song, enter, holy pilgrims, receive this shelter, not from this poor house, but from my heart. Joy that comes not from the crowd of closed doors, but it comes from one heart that opens wide. That's the picture of Advent, isn't it? Waiting and knocking and finally opening our heart's door for Christ's presence. Our scripture today comes from Revelation chapter 3. Some of you may have just gotten nervous when I said Revelation. Some of you may be thinking, oh great, Pastor Faith has gone rogue. She's reading from a Revelation. After all, when we hear that, our minds can jump to four horsemen, a woman with a dragon, scrolls and bowls, or a glassy sea. But when I think of Revelation, I think of this. If we have the next picture, please. It's okay. It will come. Just like Jesus. There it is. That's from my office, by the way. My daughter set that up, and I thought it was so fitting. That's my Jesus action figure with glowing hands and his pale green unicorn. That's what I think of. Too often, Revelation has been used to stir fear by numerologists and turn or burn street preachers. But we must remember two things when we read Scripture. Jesus is king, and context is queen. John wrote Revelation while in prison in Patmos, speaking from a specific historical moment. Yet he spoke prophetically, that is, truthfully, about who Jesus is, the Alpha and Omega, the Lamb upon the throne. So today, let us set aside the frightening images we may carry, and let's focus on this one instead. Jesus at the door. The Savior who knocks, who waits, who longs not for a half-open door, but for hearts flung open wide in welcome. So let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. Let's hear what the Lord has to say. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, there are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So can we, yes, thank you. The painting on the screen was completed by William Holman Hunt in 1851. This is his first rendition of this work known as The Light of the World. So his first rendition is in Keble College in Oxford, but there is a larger version in the St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Notice that Jesus stands on the outside of a door at night with a lantern in hand. The door is covered in weeds, showing that it's been closed for a very long time. But if you look closely, and you might have to use your reading glasses like me, there's no handle on the outside, only on the inside. The only way it can be opened is for someone to come from the inside and push it open. Hunt wanted us to see that this door is a symbol of the human heart. Christ will not force his way in. He waits for the welcome. The lantern reminds us that he is the light of the world, just as John 1 writes, shining into our darkness. The overgrown door reminds us how easily our faith can be neglected. But the promise of Revelation is this: that when we open wide, he comes in. He's not just a guest, he's the Lord, bringing joy with him. It is this promise that John writes to the church in Laodicea, a community that has grown lukewarm, half-hearted, and very content with that closed door. Laodicea, for some historical context, was very wealthy, self-sufficient, and proud of its fine textiles. They were known for making fine linens out of dark wool. They thought that they had everything they needed, including a church. But John warns them, prosperity can hide a deeper problem. Their faith was lukewarm, half-hearted, and content in themselves. And Jesus, the Amen, the true word, warns, be careful, Laodicea, for your heart is not fully in. You say you love Christ, but you will not let me in. You say that you're rich in gold, but your faith is weak under pressure. You clothe yourself with your own linens, but your heart is not dressed in God's righteousness. Your lukewarm faith is making me sick to my stomach. Make this right, or you will have no part of me. And the people of Laodicea knew exactly what that lukewarm word meant. Their city water supply was tepid, it was very stagnant, and often unsafe to drink. They would have to get water from other places. Hot water, as we all know to this day, heals. It warms us from within. Cold water is refreshing, but lukewarm water? Ew, it makes you sick. Lukewarm spirituality is no different. It is no different. It is a faith without fire, a devotion without depth, and a cracked door, but not open wide. A half open door is still closed, but an open wide for Christ, and joy comes in. This warning from Jesus is not meant to drive this church away. It's not meant to say, I'm done with you. It's not meant to drive the Laodiceans out. There's time still. There is time. Jesus invited them to turn to him, have useful zeal, either be hot or cold, and be excited to welcome him in. That same invitation was given to the innkeeper. According to archaeologists and biblical scholars, an inn looked very different than our own standards. It was not a holiday inn as we enjoy. An inn, or katamulati, was an upper room. It was an upper room, so the lower room was that stable, and it was fitted for whatever it needed to be. It could have been a dining room, a guest bedroom, a meeting space, whatever. So this mysterious innkeeper may have just said, you're not allowed upstairs. This innkeeper may have been a distant relative of Joseph, since he is going back to where his family line is from. And since so many were in town for the census, that room was full. The innkeeper couldn't turn Joseph and Mary away. That would go against the Old Testament, which often depicts hospitality as a blessing, but not for the one receiving. It is a blessing for the host to welcome the stranger, for you may be entertaining angels, if we can think of Abraham and Lot. But this innkeeper couldn't risk overcrowding. There were still too many responsibilities upstairs. So to offer the lower room was better than nothing, but it wasn't a warm welcome. He may have believed he was offering just enough to give Mary and Joseph what they needed, but it wasn't a place of honor. It wasn't the welcome of a family. It was a compromise. And compromises, however well-intentioned, keeps joy at arm's length. Much later in Luke's gospel, in chapter 9, there are three would-be disciples that want to follow Jesus, but each of them have good intentions as to why they won't follow Jesus. I'll follow you, Jesus, but first let me go get married. I'll follow you, Jesus, but let me go take care of some family situations. I'll follow you, Jesus, but I have some business to take care of, so let me sort that out. And Jesus replies with that hard truth, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Again, that half-open door is still closed. Following Christ requires a full devotion, not delayed obedience, not divided hearts. And that's our story. In 2025, we let Jesus in just enough to ease our conscience, but not enough to change our lives. After all, Jesus isn't just a guest. He's just like his father, a master carpenter. If we let this carpenter into our hearts, he's going to remodel everything. He's going to start clearing away those weeds. He's going to tear down the walls that I've built. He's going to refashion everything that I like, to make it look more like his heart. And that feels risky. It can feel costly. So we keep the door half closed, afraid of what he might do inside. Jesus, you can tend to that garden section of my heart. I want the fruit of the Spirit, but don't come inside. Jesus, you can decorate the door of my heart. Make a nice wreath for everyone to see, since that's the first thing they'll see. But please don't come inside. It's messy in here. And I like things the way they are. Just as the inn was too crowded and full of good things, good people, family, friends, our hearts can be too crowded with obligations and attachments and even fears. Our excuses reveal half-open doors. And if we're honest with ourselves, there are seasons where we want Christ, but we don't want him fully like that. So here's the promise of Revelation 3 again. If we open wide, he will come in, but not to destroy. He doesn't come in with a sledgehammer. He's coming in with a hammer and nails to rebuild. He's not coming to condemn, but to restore, not to take away joy, but to give it in abundance. Those carpenter's hands are not just strong enough to shape wood, but they are strong enough to shape hearts. That baby that was born in the lower room is now inviting you to the upper room to dine with him. That he may have been in that lower room, and now he says, come upstairs, dine with me, and I will dine with you. Las Posadas concludes with a full-on fiesta. There's tamales, there's a piñata, there's bands, there's music, there's laughter. It's a joy-filled party for the one who opened the door. Sometimes it's a person's house, and sometimes it's a sanctuary that holds the party. There is more joy in a room of one yes than a sanctuary full of maybes. That's what I got out of this message. There is more joy in one person who said yes than a sanctuary that just said maybe. Let's open those doors of our hearts in our prayer lives. Instead of those quick, thanks Jesus, amen. Instead of those quick, distracted words, let's set aside time to pray with full attention and devotion. Open the door with our relationships. A half-open door looks like withholding forgiveness or just being unwilling to reach out. Learn a new joke from someone of a different generation, maybe 6 or 7 different jokes. Thank you for laughing. Take a wise counsel from someone who's older than you or someone who's walked that road before you. Pray for someone out loud. There you go. Open the door and commit to being a student of Jesus. Mathetes, student, disciple of Jesus. Ask yourself, where am I delaying that obedience? Where am I saying, I got to figure this out, Jesus? And he says, oh no, I'm coming with you. What step of faith have you been putting off? Open the door to joy. It is a joy to open the door to Jesus. Raise your hands to God during a song. I know we can be a little frozen chosen. Can I say that out loud in a Presbyterian church? We're a little hesitant to raise our hands. Raise your hands during a song. Light a candle at your home when you pray. Dine with someone and have no agenda other than just to sit and listen. Share a recipe, even if it's your top secret recipe. I encourage you to share a recipe. I did that this year, and whew, my heartstrings were pulled. Or read scripture with others. These practices are not just once, okay, I did it, check. They're daily. Revelation reminds us that Jesus will keep knocking until he comes again. He's not waiting for a partial welcome. He's not going to just slip in. He wants the door open. He wants hearts flung wide. Opening the door means trusting him with spaces that we would rather just keep hidden. Jesus, sit in my living room, but don't go in the attic, please. It means letting him in into those cluttered corners, the messy rooms, the places we fear he might not like. It means repenting. Turning away from sin and those things that drag us away from God. And yeah, Jesus will change everything. From wallpaper to flooring, everything. He will change everything. He will clear away those weeds, tear down those walls, and refashion our very lives so that we look more like him. But the promise is joy. The promise is joy. Joy that is deeper than comfort, stronger than fear, and more lasting than any decoration we can put on the door. The innkeeper's door was only half open, and I don't mean to vilify, but it was only half open. Laodicea's faith was lukewarm. It was of no use. The disciples in Luke 9 offered conditions and delays. They missed their moment. But the story doesn't end with closed doors. As we'll see later in the coming weeks, Luke 2, joy erupts without hesitation and from wholehearted welcome. A half-open door is still closed. But when we open wide, Christ enters in, not just as a guest, but as a Lord, and he comes bearing joy. Let's pray. Gracious God, open our ears to hear your knocking. Open our hearts wide to you. Clear away those fears, our excuses, our half-open doors. Enter in as the master carpenter. Rebuild what is broken. Restore what's been lost. And relight our faith. And refill us with joy of your presence. Make your home within us, Lord Jesus. Through Christ our Lord, who was cradled in a manger and now reigns as King. Amen.